Good to be with you. Great morning to you. It is good to be here. I do have the privilege of doing many of the things that Kyle has said. And often for me, actually, it feels like I'm hit and miss because I'm here two out of every four Sundays usually because I'm traveling or speaking or sharing or doing other things, listening. I have the opportunity to be a part of and listen to other speakers in, we have about 90 plus churches in our fellowship in BC and Yukon. And so I get the privilege of traveling around and hearing great stories. And I actually even get more of the privilege of sharing our story with many others. And if you've been part of our church family over the last while, since its inception, it's been a great story with ups and downs, and as all stories go. And so, but we're going on the upswing right now, and it's been great. And I'm glad Kyle got away. I'm glad our staff gets away. They need breaks. We all need breaks. We need time to refresh and just to spend time with our family, just time to relax, do other things we enjoy. And we're talking about that a little bit this morning, and you can turn your Bibles to, if you have them, or your app, or we have Bibles at the back you like. We'll love to give you a Bible to Psalm 91, and we're going to spend some time in there today. Looking at rest and looking at what I titled it called mess, rest in mess, and how do we rest in mess? But I think that one of the real reasons that it's a privilege for Kyle to have some of us speak up here is because he gets to evaluate us. We were told that after all this, when we're recorded, and by the way, they record our the stuff that goes on this morning, so you can hear it online, which is great if you miss anything, because sometimes we talk really, really fast. Or there's great things that, you know what, you're so busy concentrating on one thing that you forget that someone keeps talking and there's more things to go. And we're opening up the Word of God, which is the very thing that He says, I got so much for you. And so sometimes we don't catch everything. So we can go and listen to it later. But we get to sit down and evaluate each other. And so Kyle actually gets to evaluate me instead of usually me evaluating him and our elders evaluating. But it's good. It's a team. We're a team. Not just the staff, our church family is a team. And but actually, the greatest privilege of any of this all is that we are loved by Jesus to love others. That's really what it's all about. And so this morning, I hope you get a glimpse of that love if you haven't already. And I appreciate our team has led us in music and given us a little bit of spunk and this little pick-me-up. I don't know where you've come, where your heart's at this morning. I'd love to say it's all joyful, and it'd be great to see if it's all joyful, but we know often our smiles don't relate to what's inside, but sometimes they do. So be ready for a pick-me-up if you haven't already, and we'll go with that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you're a God. You're a great God. You are the God. There's only one God. It's you. And today you're here with us. You are here with each one in our entire world, which is amazing. It's even unfathomable to think about. But you love us all the same. You got a place for us to be, and that's with you. And it's the best place ever. And so, Lord, we need to know that today. Father, we need to know if we have hearts here and they're sore, they're hurting, we need you to hold us. We need to know that we're not alone. We need to be comforted. Father, maybe we just need strength. Holy Spirit, maybe you need to give us wisdom for next steps. Maybe we're uncertain in what's happening around us. Father, maybe we're facing challenges we have no idea the answers for. We need that wisdom. Please grant it to us. Father, as we know that you love us, we thank you for the encouragement that you'll give us today. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, who makes all this possible for us to be with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's play a little bit of truth or false this morning for a moment. Better check our time as we go along. First question is this, and it's again, I'll ask you and you can shout it out as we go along. First question, Todd, that's me, has great clapping rhythm. True. Wow, that was fast. You're right, though, that is true. I have great clapping rhythm, just no one else falls along with me. Second question, true or false, hobby horse competitions do exist. True. Really? You're right. Actually, they do exist. You can go and look online and whatnot, and I have even a picture of, they're actually competitions. That is not me. And I do not own a hobby horse anymore. Third question, let's do this. Pastor Kyle and Burl Ives could be twins, true or false? Let's have a look. Wow. That's awesome. True or false? Don't answer this one. We're going to go through it this morning. You can rest in mess. And what I mean mess is I mean in life. Have you been able to rest in life? And life, you know what brings it, what it brings, and we're going to look at that this morning. We have a psalmist here, and we don't know who it is. There are several psalmists who write the book of Psalms, and it could be Moses. It could be many of them are attributed to David. It could be many others. There are a number of psalmists that come along, so we aren't always told who writes what. But Psalms are beautiful because they share with us things that are going on in their life. Let's see what's going on in this guy's life. It says this, Psalm 91, verse 1. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God. I trust in him. I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Don't be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up in their hands, pardon me, with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon the lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. Rest in mess. Truth number one. We're going to do truth kind of, there's no false to this. We're going to find three truths in this passage. There's probably more, but we're going to go with three that God seemed to lay out, at least for me. And for us this morning. Truth number one is this. Life is a mess. I need help. It is true. I wrote a number of verses up on the screen. You'll have to look at them. I'll read them through as we go through. But it's interesting. The psalmist here, he shares with us his challenges. And actually, that's the beauty of the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is like a diary. Anybody here have diaries? You don't have to put your hand up. Some of us have like book form diaries. Some of us put everything online in their diaries, right? We follow other people, and basically it's an open diary, and we watch their lives unfold. The psalmist here is sharing with us this morning, and it's his diary. It's his physical, it's his emotional, it's his spiritual challenges, and we get a glimpse of his private journal, and it's the one that's under lock and key that nobody else normally gets to see. Do you have one of those? It's the place where he writes things that no one else knows about. It's the place where he writes about stories that make him laugh and giggle and he's silly. And it's the places where the pages are stained with water from the tears that he's written. Do you have these? Sometimes maybe the pages stick together. He has spent his time crying through struggles. These are pages of situations which for him or for us are still real and they're raw. And when we read them, all the emotions come flooding back. They're pages of feelings that no one is ever meant to see. He's worked so hard to keep private. There's a reason why we have locks on diaries. There's a reason why we hide them, we put them away. Some of us, our diaries are in our heart. Nobody gets in. These are pages of battles he fights daily and carries into a world which is oblivious to them. How many of us have these pages? We all do. And we work very hard at not letting anybody see them. Often they're behind smiles. So let's look for a moment at this psalmist's life. Verse 3, he says this. He calls it traps. He talks about these traps that he has. Verse 3 says, "For God will rescue you from every trap." He's getting very personal here. What are these traps? They're hidden dangers. They're unexpected things that catch us and trip us up, and they're meant to make us fall. You ever have any of those days? You know, you didn't see these things coming, but here they are. Verse 3 continues on about deadly diseases, it says here. He'll protect you from deadly diseases. In other words, situations which eat away at us, creating anger and bitterness. You mad at anybody this week? Did anything happen to you this week that caused you angst? Your anxiety flare up? These are situations that create bitterness and anger. And often they come quickly, but sometimes they're also gradual. But what they've done is they've stolen our joy. And maybe they've crept in slowly, and now they've stolen our hope. What is it for you? What is it for us? Maybe they've stomped out our hope. I have the awesome privilege, and it really has little to do with me, of being married to a nurse. She said yes. Karen said yes. And for 20-plus years, I've had the privilege of every day chatting with and watching a young, beautiful woman do what God's called her to do as a nurse. I've also watched her go through, and she can't tell me a lot of stories, and many of you are nurses. Thank you. Many of you are first responders. Thank you. You go through a lot of stuff. My oldest daughter, Delaney, she's a paramedic. They go through a lot of stuff that I'll never see. And actually, privacy laws say you can't tell anybody. And so forgive me. Here's a public one. Forgive me, because some of you have seen Karen, because she works in the ER. You'll see her if you go in there. I hope you don't see her, but if you do see her, she's like the best person to see in the hospital. But you'll say, "Hey, Todd, you know, you expect me to know that you were in the ER and did something." I have no idea, because Karen hasn't told me. Because she's not allowed to, actually. But the stuff they see. Those of you who work first responders, the stuff you see, nobody should have to see. Nobody wants to see that. I mean, you get to see some highs. There are some great things you get to see, right? But you see the lows. And it's not just first responders, but that's what he's talking about here. He says, there are things that we see that have come along and they steal our joy because we constantly see them because it's a mess. What are you watching? How do you deal with this mess? Has it stolen your hope? Life can be a mess. Mess comes in different shapes and sizes, doesn't it? It comes at different stages of life. But we all live in a mess. The psalmist continues, verse 5 and 6, he says, he talks about the terrors of the night, that stalk in the darkness. This is kind of fascinating. To me, anyways, it's things that you don't see coming, I think. It's things that happen in the dark. You don't see them. There are things that we don't have answers for. We don't know what those answers for. What is the darkness for you? Those things that we just don't know about. Is it your future? You know, you're waiting for that next medical report. You have no idea what's coming. You hope it's the best, but you don't know. These are the dark things. What about the unknown? How do you handle the unknown? What does that do to your anxiety and stress? Can you rest in that? That's the mess he's dealing with. It continues on, but he doesn't just say darkness. He says in verse 5 and 6, the arrow that flies in the day and the disaster that strikes at midday. So mess just doesn't happen with the unknown. I actually see the mess all the time. It happens right in front of me. They're public things. Is there stuff that you're waiting that you know is going to happen this week that, man, you just really don't want to have to deal with? How good are you at dealing with conflict? Are there decisions that you have to make you don't want to have to make? Are there decisions that are going public? It's a mess. How many of you have gone camping over the summer? Anybody? Camping. Yeah, you know, the really camping enthusiasts, they put their hand up because, yeah, we love camping. I won't define what camping is, but a number of years ago, Karen and I went camping, and we were newly married. And so we went with two other couples, and so we were newly married. One of the couple, they'd been married maybe 3 years. Another couple had probably been married about 5 or 6, and they had a kid or two. And so we all had our individual tents, and I remember we were setting up. We got our tent set up, and one of the things I love about camping is the gear. One of the things my wife hates about camping is the gear. But I like the setup, and I love the takedown. And so I had set it up, and we had some basic stuff, I think, at that time, because we were just figuring out this camping thing. So we had some inflatable mattress, put it in the tent, got it all going. We're sitting back on our camp chair, just watching. The couple that had been married a couple years, they just had just come in last. Ourselves and the other family were there, and we were chatting away. So we're watching them set up their stuff, and so the husband goes in, and he sets up the tent, and he's starting to blow up his air mattress, and his wife is out talking with us. All of a sudden, you hear out of the tent, you hear, "All right, we're all good to go, babe." Actually, he didn't call her babe. Pet names are crazy. He called her Gherkin. He said, like, "All right, here we go, Gherkin." I'm like, okay, for the record, pet names in journals should never be let out. Oops. Should never be let out. Just like my gum. Wow. That's why they tell you never to chew gum when you speak. But if I don't, anyways, that's another reason. So she hears this, and here's this Gherkin. She turns around. She's all excited. Again, they've only been married a couple years, so she's so in love with her husband. And she goes running towards the tent. The front door's open, and she jumps in like Superman through the tent, and boom! You know what happened, right? Blew the air mattress up. Like, literally blew the air mattress up. Not only that, but the tent collapsed on top of it. They became urban outdoorsmen for the moment. They crawled out of their tent, kind of sheepishly, kind of all red, and they looked at us who were sitting there, and they said, first thing they said was, "Do you guys happen to have a spare mattress?" What's your answer? No. You know, sometimes things, they come right in front of you during the day, and you see it coming, and you kind of want to avoid it, right? That's mess. Better continue on. Sometimes we see the mess coming. Sometimes I think we consider camping our mess. Verse 7, it says this, "Sometimes thousands fall, dying around you." How many of us are going through mess and it actually involves the people around us? And it's actually, I always wrestle with the question, is it harder for me to go through something or is it harder for me to watch someone I love go through something? I don't know what the answer is. But he's talking about like people around him are dying. Like, literally, that's what he's saying here. And it's tough, and it's inescapable. The mess comes to those around us. How do we handle that? Continues on, verse 8, he talks about the wicked. You know what? Mess is created by people. And sometimes those people create mess in our lives, right? You can probably think of some, sadly. But sometimes we're the ones that create the mess in other people's lives. And this guy is writing it down. And he's probably got ideas of who he's talking about and names. He doesn't say it, thank goodness. Continues on. Verse 10, he talks about evil. Talks about plagues. Verse 13, he talks about lions and snakes. Now, there's those things that are vicious and deadly. Like, they come after you. They're relentless. Like, stop it. And how many of us in our prayer life have said, "God, like, stop this now. I'm so tired, I can't do this anymore." It's a mess. God actually tells us that sin has created this inescapable mess. We must never forget that. Romans 3 gives us an example. It says this, "All people, whether Jews or Gentiles, are under the power of sin. As the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away and have become what? Have become useless. No one does good, not a single one. Their talk is foul. They like stench from an open grave. Their tongues are filled with lies. Snake venom drips from their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They rush to commit murder. Destruction and misery always follow them. They do not know where to find peace. They have no fear of God at all." It's sin. That's what's created this mess, and we live in this mess. So we got to have an answer for sin to deal with this mess. So what's your mess? How's your stress? How's your anxiety? Have you asked for help in your mess? What do you do with your mess? Do you bury it? Some of us do. We work really good at pushing it deep down, and hopefully it doesn't spring out, right? We hold a lot in, and maybe two or three times a year, it kind of bursts out because we can't hold it in that long. Do you try to medicate it away? Do you try to exercise it away? How about eat it away or drink it away? Do you try to escape it? Here's a good one. Do you try to vacation it? Do you try to give it to another person? Many of us are trying to get at that. We work hard at that. Sometimes these things help us out, but do they last long? How many of these things have we gone after that to try and help us, but they've actually become part of the mess? So what does the psalmist do? Truth number two, to rest in mess, cling to the best. To rest in our mess, we have to cling to the best. The psalmist found rest in God. You know, the beauty of a lot of the psalms is that the first verse or two tell you everything that you need to know for the rest of the psalm, and the rest of the psalm just explains it. And he says this in verse 1, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Those who live in the shelter will find rest in the shadow. Verse 2, he actually says this, he alone, he's talking about God here, he alone is my refuge. In other words, the place where I can hang out, the place where it's safe, the place where I'm accepted, the place where I'm loved, the place where I can grow, the place where I can recover. He's my refuge. He's my place of safety, he says here. Who doesn't want that? The church is a place for safety. Let me ask you this question. Is our church a place of safety? We will grow if it is. You will know that. You maybe are here because it is. He also says, he is my God. In other words, he's number one in my life. What's number one in your life? Again, what are you dealing with to deal with your anxiety? You know, who's the first, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Is it going to your spouse? Is it going to somebody else? Or is it actually going to God? Is like God the first speed dial? Is he the first one we text? He says, he is my God and I will trust him. God gives rest. Big point, start point. Don't miss this. God is the one who gives rest. In other words, we cannot rest unless God gives it. You catch that? We cannot find rest, no matter what we're looking for, no matter how we're searching for it, unless God is willing to give it. So even our things that we do find rest in, the only reason we find rest in them is because God gives it to us. And our God loves us. It's interesting, in verse 1 it says, we find it in him. We discover it in him. We cannot give it if he doesn't get it. Romans 7:24 says this, oh, what a miserable person I am. Here's our answer to the original sin question. Who will free me from the life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God. What's the answer? It is in Jesus Christ our Lord. There's our rest. It is in a person. It is in a relationship, and it comes through Jesus Christ. That is our rest. It is not for me camping. It is not a nice, soft mattress to lie down at night. And I love my bed. Oh, I love my bed. I hope you love your bed, too. That's not where rest is found. Rest is not in our spouse. It's not where rest is found. We like to think it is, and there's some good things. There's a lot of great things there. Our rest is found in Jesus Christ. So the question is, have you chosen Jesus? Do you choose Jesus? That's what he's asking. Rest in mess comes through Jesus Christ. So if this is true, how do we do this? How do we get rest? How do we keep on resting? That's the big question, isn't it? One is this, verse 1, live in the Most High. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. You know, this word live is quite an interesting word. It means to remain in or to sit with or to stay with, to make my home in. It also actually means to marry. I'm like, huh, that's interesting. I performed, officiated a wedding a couple weeks ago. And when I do a wedding, I like the couple to come up, if it's a ceremony, I like the couple to come up and face each other. And so this couple came up and they were facing each other because nobody wants to look at the backside of anybody, right? They want to look at the faces. They want to see the expressions, especially of people that love each other. And this is a couple who had known each other for 4 or 5 years and decided to get married. And so they were looking at each other. And as they were looking at each other, we went through the ceremony and they read love letters to each other, which was great. And we said vows, which was great. And then it was time to kiss. So they exchanged the rings. And it was time to kiss, but they were so busy, I don't have Karen up here to reenact her, but they're just staring at each other. Like they were so focused at each other, they didn't notice what else was going on. I've never had a couple like this. And they basically did that the entire ceremony. They were just like this, like just googly-eyed. Like there was so much, like it's like you could look at their eyes and you could see they're holding the other person's eyes with their eyes. Have you done that? Have you ever been there? Have you loved somebody enough? And it doesn't that just have to be between a man and a woman. It's someone you care about so much and you just, like, you look at your baby. And you're like, I love you so much. I just can't take my eyes off you, at least for some moments. But that was there. In fact, it was so focused that I actually had to, hey you guys should kiss now. And they didn't say anything. They didn't move. So I walked up closer, I'm like, hey, like, and so this is all going on during the ceremony, and people are waiting, and so actually I went up and I had to tug on his pants. You probably didn't see because I was behind him, but I actually had to tug on his pants, and then he's finally like, oh, hey guys, kiss. That's what he's saying here. Are you so in love with Jesus Christ? Are you so focused on Jesus Christ? Do you just look at who is he? What is he about? What does he say in his word? You know, going into his word every day. Lord, I just need to know more about you. What is it? Like, we're so focused. That's what he's saying here. That's how we live in him. You want to find rest? That's how we find rest. It's not a secret. It's actually quite simple. It's just sometimes hard, right? Because of everything else that goes on, because our mess. But he also says this, it's not just about living in the Most High. He says this, it's also about trusting him. Verse 2, he alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. Verse 9 says this, if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, it's about you doing something. Let me give you this other truth here. Rest is not passive, it's active. I think some of us think rest, oh, I put my feet up, that's rest. You know what? There is a part to that, that's true. But here the psalmist says, rest is going after it. Rest isn't just putting my feet up anymore. I actually have to go spend time in the shelter. I have to go, the only reason he experiences the shade in verse 1 is because he's out in the sun. If he's not out in the sun, he doesn't get the shade. Rest is not passive. Rest to this psalmist was not about stopping everything. It's not about getting away from his mess, which I think we often try. It's not about avoiding his mess. Rest is about bringing God into his mess. That's what's cool about this, is we can actually bring God into where we are. Wait a minute. God in here says, I'm actually already there. Verse 8 says, open your eyes and see. I'm already dealing with it. Oh, okay, think about that for this morning. Think about that as we go out this week. In whatever you're going to, God is there waiting for you to deal with whatever you got to deal with. God is waiting in your mess with all that he is. And he uses wonderful words to describe, which we don't have time to talk about. He is almighty. He's the Holy One. He is waiting for you. But he says, you need to choose to come to him. Love it. Who here has experienced this God in your mess? I hope you have. We are a church. This is what we are not perfect. We are people in a mess, lots of messes, who have a God who loves us and who strengthens us so we can show people how he works in mess. That is what we do. You don't have to be perfect anymore. You're not faking anybody. That is what the world needs to see, because they have that same mess. The church needs to be the church. The church daily needs to rest in our mess because we cling to the best. This is why we do small groups. This is why we do relational building. This is why we need each other, because we need each other to see and help and bring us back to the one we need to cling to. Anyways, better keep going. Last thing is this. Truth number three, God gives rest in my mess. I love God's encouragement. Let me just read briefly for you the psalmist and what he says are the reasons he clings to Jesus. And it's the rest of the psalm. And we looked at it a little bit, because you'll notice he says this. The psalmist in a number of verses says, he will, in other words, God will, do, and he'll tell you what he's going to do or what he has done or what he will do. Verse 3, he will rescue you from every trap. Again, you could be in the trap, but he's going to rescue you. Isn't that great? You're not going to be alone. Again, it's not about avoiding the trap sometimes, although we pray for avoidance. The reality is we're in it, but God's there with us. Verse 3 also says he's going to protect you from disease. Verse 4 says he will cover you with his feathers and shelter you. This is kind of cool. It's like the bird, you know. So I looked up, well, what is a bird's feathers? Like, what do they do? You know, and part of it is actually protects the bird. Part of it keeps the temperature of the bird at the right temperature. I heard that a penguin, the feathers are there so they can slide better. That's cool. It's so you can do and be all that you are and all God meant to be. And he uses that example here. Verse 5 to 7, he says, don't be afraid of the night and of the day and or of thousands dying around you. Why? Because these evils may not touch you, will not touch you. There are times where God will pull things away. You ever had close calls? Everyone gets close calls, don't we? And it's usually from our own stupidity, but sometimes it's from others. I think these are some of those close calls. And you actually get a glimpse of, whoa, God took care of that one. But does God get the credit, or do we give it to coincidence or something else? Verse 8, the wicked are punished. Verse 10, no evil or plague will conquer you. In other words, we will win because Christ has won. Go into this week knowing that Christ has won. Verse 11 and 12, angels will protect you. This one's cool. They'll come and actually hold you up when you need it. Verse 13, you will trample lions and serpents. Wow, you're going to do things that will amaze you. Glory to God. Verse 14 to 16, he says, God can give us deliverance, protection, answers to prayer, is with us in trouble. He rescues us and brings us honor. He can reward us with long life if he wants to, and he will know how rich and deep God's salvation is. Reality, God reigns. That's what he's saying here. Our Lord reigns. Nothing will ever change that. It's time to experience it and give him credit. Let him reign in your mess. Finish with this. I don't know. Do you recognize this fellow at all? I know it's a small picture. There was an event a couple of months ago, a little bit more, maybe 2 or 3 months ago. His name is Saman, or S-A-M-A-N. His last name is Kunin. You might recognize this picture. Yeah, he is. I think that's right. This man was a Navy SEAL diver, and as you may know the story, He's from Thailand, and the boys that went in there, a soccer team with their coach, went into this tunnel, and you can kind of see how far they went. It says where they found the boys and where the entrance of the tunnel is. And they were in there having fun, enjoying time, and the flood waters came. Do you remember this story? It wasn't that long ago. And they were in there for how many weeks? Do you remember before they found them? At least 2 weeks before they actually heard anything. Again, a lot of unknown, a lot of mess going on here, a lot of mess going in the families, a lot of mess. I can't imagine what it was like in the cave. And Saman was a diver, and on one of the dives, as they were saving the boys, he died. He died serving others. He died helping someone else out of their mess. He lost his life. He had a young family, a young wife. He risked his life to save and rescue the boys. And what he did and said to the boys before he passed away, he said this when he met them in the cave. When you get out of this cave, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? What are you going to make of yourself when you're rescued? Kind of gives us a glimpse of Jesus Christ for us, doesn't it? Jesus Christ gave his life to rescue us. God every day rescues us, saves us, helps us, leads us. And the question he asks is, what are you going to do with what I have just done for you? That's the question. And you can't leave it here, folks. We do it out there. This is a safe place. This is great. This is where we get encouraged. But that's what he's asking us this week. What are you going to do with what I'm going to do in your life? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, great God, thank you for reminding us that we are in a mess. Thank you for knowing that and coming and living with us in our mess. Thank you for giving us you, Jesus Christ, to die for our mess, to live through our mess, and empowering us to not have to deal with this mess alone, that we actually created, you tell us. Father, I want to thank you for the psalmist who many years ago shared with us what it's like to live in his mess, what it's like to have you work through his mess, and how much you love him and how much you love us, and that you're working ahead of us, and it's actually not about us. It's not about us, God. You say it's about you. And when we get lost in our mess, Lord, it becomes about us. And I'm so sorry, Lord, for the times that I focus on me because I focused on the mess. But thank you, Jesus Christ, for giving us a way out of this mess. And thank you for a world, an answer, for hope for our world to their mess, to our mess. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.